Good evening. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 14 to begin with. Matthew chapter 14, and we'll start reading in verse 23. Matthew 14, 23. Actually, let's start at 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Let's go to the Lord in prayer again. Our gracious God and our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your willingness to speak to your sheep, to let us hear your voice, to let us know when you are speaking to us. Lord, we ask that your word would be living and active as it is promised to be, and that tonight we would see your spirit moving in these words that you've given to us. Lord, we ask that you would be preeminent and glorified in all that is said and done, and that you would be teaching us, encouraging us, exhorting us, and training us this evening with the words that you have for us. And Lord, I thank you for this time. I thank you for your greatness to us. It is in your Son's precious name that we pray. Amen. Tonight, I would like to look at a few thoughts concerning where our eyes are focused, where our minds are trained. I don't expect anything that is said today to be new, but in my life, having a reminder, especially of where I should be focused and where I should be looking, is something that has to come on a frequent basis. Because left to myself, I get distracted. And left to myself, I see other things to be thinking about. Things that are not proper. Things that discourage me and are not the perfect and the true. And so, that's actually been one of the things that the Lord has been working on me lately. And with it fresh in my mind, I felt that tonight would be a good time for us all to look at it again, to see a few things that are quite evident in Scripture that we should not be training our thoughts and our minds and our eyes on, and a few things that we should be looking at, a few things that we should be considering, a few things that should be our focus. I picked the passage today because this is one that the Lord used for me to make me stop and think about where are you looking? What are you paying attention to? Some brother, and I don't remember who it was, brought us to this passage in the last few weeks. And as I looked at Peter and I saw him walking on the water toward Jesus, as long as he was looking at Jesus, and then he looks away and he sees the boisterous nature of the wind, the waves that are crashing around him. and he's concerned with the things around him that aren't Christ. And he begins to sink. And if that picture is not obvious to every one of us, if the picture of looking around and not training our eyes on Christ doesn't, and therefore sinking, if that's not clearly a picture of ourselves, then I would have to say I'm not like you. Because it is like me. It is like me to look around. To look around and see what's here and to sink. And to need to cry out again to the Lord, Lord, save me from what I've just mired myself in. From what I've just fallen into. Or from what I've slowly sunk into. And so when this passage was read, the Lord directed my thoughts that way. Michael, what are you looking at? What are you focusing on? So I thought of I looked up and considered a list of three things in Scripture that are obvious that we shouldn't be looking at. Things that we shouldn't be considering and focusing on. And three things that we should. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19. Another passage that we've considered recently, and I hope I'm not just parroting some other brother's message, because I can't remember when I heard these, but I know that I've heard them recently. Matthew 6, verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherefore shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. A few thoughts from this passage of what we should not be looking at. We should not be focused on the world. Pretty succinctly. We should not be focused on the temporary. On either the needs, the anxieties, the troubles that this world can bring. Money, clothing, food. We should not be focused on what is plaguing us materially here. But neither should we be focusing on treasures of this world. Money, power, position, reputation, popularity. These are things that are described as worthless in comparison to the treasures in heaven. And furthermore, as our eyes are trained on these things, we are focusing on the darkness. The eye is the light of the body. If our eye is focused on darkness and our eyes are our light, then our light is darkness. It's kind of how I understand this passage. That if what's coming into your heart, what's coming into your body is darkness, and your eyes are the light of your life, are the windows by which you can perceive goodness. If your focus and your training is on things that are dark, then even that which is light to you is darkness. But in any case, it's obvious that we are not to be laying up these treasures here, these concerns here for food and for raiment, for whatever this world has to offer. It's similar to Peter's predicament, looking around at the way that things were moving around him, letting his mind, his earthly mind, think about the fact that he was on water and he can't be doing this. Thinking about the fact that the waves are crashing and eventually one of those is going to hit him. Thinking about the fact that the wind is blowing and that this is not a good situation for a man. And all of those things were true. If I was to step out of a boat into a storm right now, it would not be a good situation for me. But as long as Christ had told him, come, he was safe. He didn't have to worry about the things here, the things, the earthly things, because he was safe. So the first thing that we should not be focusing on is the temporal, the material things here. Let's continue reading in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye mete, it shall be measured to you again. Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to the brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to remove the mote out of thy brother's eye. The second thing that I considered that we shouldn't be supremely focused on are the flaws and the faults of others, especially to the exclusion of seeing our own need for change in our hearts. How discouraging it is to be focused on other people's faults. For they are abundant. It's easy to find flaws in other people. It's easy to look around and say, why aren't they doing this? Or why are they doing that? And to think, Lord, if these are your children, if these are the brothers and sisters that I'm to be working with, why are they acting this way? I know that that's plagued me. I know that it's easy for me to look around and to see in other people faults. But if we start to focus on those faults, we are not moving forward. We are not helping them move forward. It's not the best way. It's not a good way for us to be trained on the speck in another brother's eye. Is not the way that the Lord has designed it. Sufficient for each day is the evil thereof. Sufficient for me is the evil of me. I don't need to be worried about other people's issues, other people's flaws as I see them. There's enough that the Lord has to work out in my life. May we not consider the material issues of this world. May we not be so focused on the flaws and the failures of our brothers. One more thought that I had of things not to look at. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of thee. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary." We should not be focused on the service, the tasks, the work of other people. If we have our own place in the body, and we are especially gifted for that place, we should be considering what our gift is and what we should be doing. We should not be considering that brother has a gift that is better than mine. That brother gets more recognition for being a better speaker. That sister is always given the more preferential jobs, is always given more recognition for doing these things. I'm working too. We should not be jealous of other people's gifts. We should not be jealous of other people's place in the body. We should not be discontent, Ted. Not content with our own place in the body and our own work. But we should be looking to see where we fit in and doing just that. And then as the Lord adds more, let Him add more. Neither should we look at another brother or another sister, see the gift that they're given, the work that they're doing, and assume that they're not doing enough. And assume that the work they're doing is not as important. And assume that they should be doing more. That's what it means when it says the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee. Just because we think something of ourselves, we think we're doing a better job than someone else, doesn't mean that the Lord hasn't placed that person where they are, with the gifts they are, fulfilling it the way they are, for a special purpose. And the whole idea here is we're a body. A body where each one does their part. God does the uniting together and fits the pieces just where He'd have them to be. May we not be focused on each other's gifts, each other's work, on evaluating ourselves against other people. On the contrary, we should be willing to look at ourselves, to look at the issues that we have. Think back to Matthew 7. Take out that beam from your own eye. Be willing to consider our own hearts. Gibby has been speaking very eloquently about this matter for many months. Be willing to look, to allow God to search your heart and to see what needs to be changed. Along the same lines, in James 1, James chapter 1, verse 21. James 1:21, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. We should be looking at the Word. We should be focusing on the Word, especially as it reflects to us those things in us that need to be changed. Especially as it shows us things about ourselves that need to be different. Our focus should be on understanding and applying the Word of God as He has given it to us. In Hebrews 10, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We went over how we are not to look at each other. How we are not to focus on each other in our service, in our flaws, and in things that we see in others, not to harp on those bad things. But we are to consider one another. We are to be building up each other. And so there is some amount of focus that must be given to others in the assembly toward the end of making them better, of encouraging them, of exhorting them, of edifying them, of building each other up. Let us consider one another unto love and good works. Coming together to edify each other, to build each other up as these gifts were given to us. The whole reason the Lord has us here and gifted us in the assembly is to build each other up. until we are all in the image of the perfect man, the completed image of Christ. We have a job here to focus on building each other up. Not the negative focus, but the positive focus. And finally, as if you didn't know that I was going here, Hebrews chapter 12. Most importantly, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Looking unto Jesus. We should always, always be focusing on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I thought about how we should focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, there are reasons why we focus on the Lord. We focus on the Lord because compared to Him, we are flawed. Compared to Him, we cannot have pride in ourselves. Compared to Him, all of our corruption, it burns up. It's not allowing Him to be that one who is described as the consuming fire, the one who perfectly and accurately judges us and corrects us. And so we need to be focused on the Lord so that we can't compare ourselves to men. We need to be focusing on the Lord to be a pattern to follow. Not only does He set us in our place and show us the things that are wrong, but He gives us the goal to strive for. He gives us the image that we are desiring to be. The attitudes, the character traits that are our goal. Furthermore, we look to the Lord Jesus. We focus on the Lord Jesus because He is our loving bridegroom. And from Him, while we can have no pride in His presence, we also can have no self-pity. For He has given us worth. He has given us love. He has given us encouragement. And when we rightly set ourselves before Him and gaze at Him, these other issues don't matter. Because we're safe. Because we are the loved choice people of our Lord. Because He is the one that has sought us out, has purchased us with His own blood. And we don't have to worry about all these other things. I don't know where any of you were as you came into this building, where any of your hearts were, where any of your thoughts were. But I know that so often I come in weighed down with the stuff, with the things here on this earth, with hopes and dreams that seem unfulfilled, with anxieties, with worries, with things that are here and aren't lasting. And most of the time, when my discouragement comes, well, all the time, when my discouragement comes, it comes because I am looking at the wrong things. Where are we focusing? Take some time. Think about it. Where are we looking today? Are we focusing on the pleasures, the treasures of this world? Are we focusing on the allurements and the passions and the desires that are here? Are we focusing on the worries that are here? Are we focusing on the failures and the frailties of other men? Are we focusing on the inadequacy of others, or the perceived inadequacy of others' work? Or are we focusing on the Word as it applies to us? Are we focusing on building up the saints and encouraging all those that are here? And are we focusing on Christ, the true and perfect judge, the loving bridegroom, the perfect pattern for our lives? Take some time to readjust your focus, as the Lord has shown me that I have needed to. And lay aside all those weights and look toward Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. And find encouragement there. And find joy there. And leave all the discouragement behind. Don't sink because you're looking at the waves. But keep your eyes focused on Christ. Thought of that song, that little song that we sang as kids. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. So simple, but how often that's just what needs to run through our heads. Not what we're actually looking at, per se, although many of those things can be dangerous as well, but just be careful of where we're putting our hopes and our focus. And every once in a while, just assess it and turn. And look to what we all agree is a much better goal, a much better focus. I didn't mean to speak for you all there, but I know it is for me. When I look at Christ, it's so much more encouraging, so much better than when I focus on what's here. Let's pray. Our gracious God and our Heavenly Father, we thank You for all that You've blessed us with. We thank You for Your willingness to come alongside us and redirect us when we have turned aside. Lord, we thank You for the picture of Your Son being right there as Peter was in distress. When he began to look around and he began to sink, Jesus stretched out His arm and caught him. Lord, some of us need to be caught. Some of us need to be turned. Some of us need to have Your strong and loving arms support us right now and cause us to focus on the true and the good. To leave all the weights and the hindrances behind and to push forward, focusing on You and all of Your wonderful glory and love and grace. God, we thank You for all that You've blessed us with. And we thank You for Your Word, which speaks to us so clearly and is such an encouragement and exhortation and an instructive tool. Bless us as we go from here. Help us to follow You closely as we go throughout our week. We love You, and we're so grateful for the care that You show in our lives. It's in your Son's precious name that we pray. Amen.